Good evening. Turn, if you would, tonight to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 2 is where we're going to be. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we can be back together tonight. Thank you, Lord, for just your goodness to us this morning and just the reminder of your resurrection. Lord, the encouragement that that was, I hope, to each of us. God, I pray that you'd help us to be encouraged tonight by your word as well. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to remind us of what we talked about last week, because I believe it's of utmost importance, especially as we transition into tonight's message. But last week we watched as Hosea dealt with this thought in his dealings with the people of Israel, that Israel was not smart enough or wise enough to recognize where the blessings in their lives came from. They didn't realize that it came from the Lord. And so as a result of that lack of awareness, they basically came to this conclusion: we'll go out and we'll find our joy and our satisfaction someplace else. And what God said through Hosea was this: is I am going to take the mirth or the joy from them, meaning you may be unfaithful to me in your discontentment in the relationship, but you will not enjoy that lot in life forever. You're going to come to a point where you're miserable, where you have no joy, where you have no satisfaction. And in light of that, I talked about last week how we have known so many people over the years who have known the blessings of God in their lives. God has been so good to them, and it's almost as though they don't recognize where that goodness comes from, and so they grow discontent in their walk with God. And so they're going to pursue this, they'll follow after this, they'll chase this. This is what's going to be what gives them the joy and the gladness in life, and it is fun for a while, but what they soon find out is this: it does not satisfy like they thought it was going to. Why is that? Because no one can live in disobedience to God's authority for long and remain happy. Disobedience is always going to produce a miserable manner of life. And every one of us have to guard against that. It does not matter who we are. It does not matter what stage of life we're in. We have got to recognize all these blessings come from God. I don't need to get discontent in this relationship with the Lord. I need to stay faithful and let whatever the world throws at me, just let it bounce off, so to speak, and just stay faithful. If we don't, we'll be miserable like everyone else who's tried to do it. So that's what we talked about last week. And of course, again, we're going to be carrying on or moving on tonight. I want to begin by talking about something that you all will know, obviously, very quickly. You know that Susie and I have been blessed with 3 kids. No surprise, you know that. I'm not talking about them tonight. I'm just using that as kind of a launching point for where this message is headed. Okay? In this relationship that Susie and I have with the kids, there is something that I want them to know as it relates to us. I want them to know that they need to respect us. You understand this? I think you would want the same from your kids towards you. They need to respect us. There needs to be that level of respect, that level of, I don't want to say reverence, but that level of understanding, okay, this is Dad, this is Mom, they are in a position of authority, they are in a position of leadership, and I need to respect that. So I need to know how to interact with them. I need to know how to talk to them. All these different things. That's what I want from the children God has blessed us with. At the same time, I don't want that respect to keep them from having a warmth with us in the relationship. You would understand that as well, correct? You want the kids to understand the boundaries. You want them to understand the parameters. Yes, they need to respect us as parents, and they need to know that, but I also want them to enjoy a measure of warmth in that relationship that we have. So I want that to be so for the children that God has blessed us with. To carry that thought just a little bit further, I would say this: I don't mind if the kids tell their friends, Dad and Mom demand respect. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind if they're sitting around saying to their friends, I can't say that and get away with it at my house. My dad would address that real quick. I don't mind whatsoever, one bit, them saying, nope, I couldn't do that and get away with it. I don't mind them telling their friends that that's the kind of parent they've been given. But at the same time, I want them to share with their friends the flip side of that. That we can sure have a lot of fun with my parents. You know, it's not all business. It's not all rigid. It's not all this. It is that when it needs to be, that strict personality or that demanding personality. But they also know how to have fun, and they also know how to make the environment enjoyable. And to carry the thought one step further, I would say this. The kids could call us many different things, I guess, and it be appropriate. But there's one name that I don't want them calling me, and one name I don't want them calling Susie, at least in a serious tone, okay? If they tease about it like this, okay, but don't be serious. Do not call me Father, and do not call her Mother. I don't want the kids walking up to me saying, Father, do you mind if I go out to eat with my friends? Father, do you mind if I stay up a little late tonight and get some homework done? I don't want that. I don't want them walking up to Susie and saying, Mother, may I do this afternoon? Mother, could I or would you be okay with? I don't want them calling us that for this reason. In my mind, that's too cold. It's not wrong, but it's just, you know what I'm saying? It's just not reflective of the relationship I want to have with them. What do I want them to call me? I want them to call me Dad. I want them to call Susie Mom. Because it reflects a measure of warmth and closeness that we do enjoy in the relationship. Now, I can promise you I know what I'm going to be called for the next couple of days. Father, I get it. But long term, that's not how I want to be addressed or identified as. Now, someone may say, why are we going through all this? Why are you telling us all this? All right. Well, notice what it says in verse number 14. In verse number 14, here's what Hosea declares on behalf of God. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence in the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Now, we're not going to spend a long time on this. We're certainly not going to look at every aspect of this passage. But I want us to understand this, that in verse 14 and 15, here is what God makes clear, is that there is going to be a path of reconciliation that is initiated by God. You understand how important this is? Israel has lived in sin. Israel has been unfaithful. And yes, there's going to be a judgment for it. And yes, there is going to be a consequence for it. But there is going to be a pathway of reconciliation between God and his children, and that's going to be initiated by God. Why is that important? It's important for this reason. It reveals the nature and the personality of God, even in the Old Testament. He wants the relationship with his children to be right. He wants the relationship with his children to be reconciled. How many of us have ever heard someone say something like this, that in the New Testament, God is a God of grace, but in the Old Testament, he is a God of wrath? We've heard it, right? How many of us have ever been guilty of expressing or echoing that sentiment? I've done it. And you know what that reveals? It reveals that we really don't understand the God of the Old Testament. Because this is a God of grace being seen or being shown here in Hosea chapter 2. He is saying, children of Israel, I want you to know that there is going to come a time when this relationship is going to be reconciled. It's not always going to be strained. It's not always going to be a relationship that is at odds with each other. The relationship is going to get better eventually. So here is God showing himself, even in the Old Testament, to be a God of grace and a God of mercy. I know I've touched on this before, but I just want to say it again. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, God did not undergo some personality transformation. That would be inconsistent with what the Scripture says, okay? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I just want us to see this. God has always been a God of grace. So as he speaks of this initiation of reconciliation that will take place by him, notice what it says in verse number 16 and 17. It says, "And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali, for I will take thee," or "take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name." Okay, verse 16 and 17, very important verses. Verse number 17, he said, "For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, that being Israel, and they shall no more be remembered by their name." What is verse 17 telling us? Verse 17 is telling us this, that the children of Israel had been impacted and affected by those who served Baal. Okay? As they had lived in the world, as they had been a part of the world, as they had lived that lifestyle, it had had an impact on their lives. Now that makes sense, does it not? Who we run with and who we associate with is going to impact who we are as individuals. Okay, that's a principle that we all know and we all understand. And so think about this. If we wanted to take verse number 17, rip it out of context and just have fun with it, think of all the things that could be preached and all the things that could be said. As a result of your time of living in the world and being unfaithful to God, look at how it has impacted your life. Boy, that's a thought that could preach for a really long time. It just wouldn't be according to context. So let's deal with this according to context. Notice what it says in verse number 16, probably not your life verse, certainly not my life verse, but an important verse. It says in verse 16, "And it shall be that day, saith the Lord," when this reconciliation begins to take place, he said, "It shall be at that day that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali." Now that's exciting stuff, isn't it? It's not, I understand. But why is this important? Well, those who served Baal, he said, "I'm going to take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth." Whenever he says, "Thou shalt call me no more Baali," what does Baali mean? Well, here's what it means: Lord or Master. Lord or Master. Now somebody says, why is that important? What's the significance of this? Okay, well, Israel, from what the scholars say, it appears as though they had adopted this mindset that of God, here is who he was, Lord and Master, but nothing else. So when they referred to God as Baali, they were saying he is the Lord and he is the Master and nothing else. And while that is true and while it is appropriate to a great extent, he said when that reconciliation takes place and when that relationship begins to be restored, he said, here's what I'm going to want you to call me. I'm going to want you to call me Ishi and not Baali. Why would God want to be called Ishi? What does Ishi mean? Well, Ishi means husband or Lord or master. How many of us remember what Sarah called Abraham? Anybody remember what she called him? Lord, who was her husband. Okay? So the words mean almost the same thing technically. But when you study the words out, here's what is said of Ishi over Baali. That Ishi has a tone of softness and tenderness associated with it that Baali does not have associated with it. So you following this? Here are the children of Israel, and they have been affected and impacted by the mindset and the ideology of those who served the false gods. And so as a result of being influenced by them, they looked at God as nothing more than Lord and Master, the one who was of authority and the one who was of a position of power, however they might describe it. But no real warmth, no real affection, no real softness. And while that was appropriate to an extent, what God said is I don't want to just be known as Baali. I want to be known as Ishi. I want you to know that there is also love and affection and softness and tenderness in this relationship that I want with you. Think about this. It's just like me with my children and Susie with the children. We want the children to respect us. We want the children to have a right attitude toward us, but I don't want them walking around calling me father or calling her mother because that doesn't represent the relationship that I want to have with them. So God was saying, as this reconciliation takes place, I want you to refer to me in a name that reflects the relationship, the type of relationship that I genuinely want to have with you, one of closeness, softness, tenderness, etc. Now, that in mind, I want us to consider some questions tonight. Just be honest with these questions. In the ranks of independent fundamental Baptist, of which we are a part of, over the years, through the generations, has there been an emphasis on the lordship and the authority that God should have in an individual's life? Has there been an emphasis on that? There certainly has. Now, before we jump to any conclusions, let me say this. That is appropriate. It is appropriate to emphasize the position of lordship and authority of God in the life of a person. Why is that important? It is important because we need to understand who God is. And we need to constantly be reminded of who God is. He is to be our Lord. He is to be in that position of authority. He is someone to be reverenced. He is someone to be revered. He is someone to be respected. And I think one of the reasons that we tend to hold to this position so strongly is in part because we are seeing in our society such a swing in how people view God. We'd have to be honest and say this. We are living in a culture, at least in the United States, that does not really esteem God in the manner in which they ought. God is oftentimes humanized far too much. So as a result, God is just this buddy, or he's this guy that you hang out with. And I know I've said this before, but some have reduced him down so low to be equal with mankind. Some are of the opinion that he's someone that you just sit around and have a beer with. Friends, that's not who God is. God is holy. He is righteous. He is perfect. He is pure. He is all these things. And with that, we ought to recognize his lordship in our lives, his authority in our lives. We must always, always remember that. To fail to do so is reckless. To fail to do so is dangerous. And to do so would be inviting behavior that would bring about God's wrath on our lives. Okay. So we understand this. We recognize this. We admit this. We have been heavy on the lordship and the authority that God should have in an individual's life. So as a result, as the pendulum swings, let's be honest. The pendulum has oftentimes gotten stuck on the lordship and authority aspect of God, has it not? And so what have we many times come across as to the world? We have come across as people who serve a very cold, hard, demanding God that's just looking for an opportunity to squash people. Better live right or God's going to judge you. Amen, right? We like that kind of preaching sometimes. Kind of fuels our flesh a little bit. Yeah, we can get excited about that. Okay, again, there's a place for that. But here is what many in our ranks, maybe not you, but here is what many in our ranks have done. We have failed to represent this side of God, that he also wants the closeness and the warmth and the tenderness in the relationship that we have. I don't know about you, I can only speak for myself in this, but I think here's what's been my concern on more occasions than once, for sure. I don't want to emphasize that tender side of God too much, because then I'll be a compromiser. I'll be weak. I'll be the one who's headed down that trail of compromise. So let's always keep in mind lordship and master and authority. Let's always keep that in mind. But here is God saying to his children, no. 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 It's not just Lord and Master. It's Lord and Master with affection, with tenderness, with kindness, with closeness. So we miss out on that sometimes. And I know that for me, maybe not for you, but for me, I need to be reminded of the relationship that God wants with me. Just like I want my kids to have with me, remember the authority that I have. But with that authority, we're able to be close. Don't lose sight of the fact, he would say to me, Kyle, I am your dad, Abba Father. I'm your dad, not just father. I need to be reminded. He wants that closeness with me. I'd like to remind every one of us tonight, God wants that closeness with you. He does. Young people, I'm not picking on you tonight, But I'm saying this because sometimes the mindset becomes of those who go to church. Church is all about rules and regulations, and you can't do this and you can't do that. And I don't want that. Understand, young people, that that is part of what is necessary in our walk with the Lord. We've got to understand that side of it, but don't ever let the world convince you that that's all that God is about, because God wants to have the closeness with you, that personal, intimate relationship with you. You can have it when you maintain a right relationship with Him. He's not one to be feared. He's not one to be scared of unless we're living in disobedience, and then we ought to be scared out of our minds. And it's not just young people who need to maintain a right perspective on who God is and the relationship that He wants. Every one of us need to maintain this fact that, God, You want a close relationship with me. You're my dad. Oh, you can't say that. No, I can from the allegorical standpoint. That's my dad. That's not a distant father. That is my dad. Every one of us need to be reminded of this truth. He is Ishai, not just Baalai. And in light of that, kind of like I want my kids to be honest about all aspects of me, let me just remind all of us that as representatives of our Father, we need to be careful to make sure that we represent Him correctly. In this crazy world that we live in, as I touched on this morning, boy, it's easy to remind people of the angry God, right? God is angry with the wicked, and He is. Don't get me wrong. And God is going to punish the wicked, and He is. All that's true. But there's nothing wrong with saying to a lost person, but man, how He loves you. Man, how He wants to restore a relationship with you. How He wants to have this close, intimate relationship with you. We need to be careful that as we reflect the personality and the nature of our dad, of our Heavenly Father, we need to be careful that we don't just always represent the God of wrath and the God of judgment and the God of anger, but that we remind people He's a God of compassion and mercy and tenderness. How many times I've said this in the past, I don't know. But I don't know where we're at tonight. I think sometimes we fluctuate in our feelings of warmth with God, do we not? Sometimes I feel like we're extremely close and we're extremely tight and man, we're about as good as we've ever been. And then other times things happen. And sometimes I feel like probably just ought to refer to Him as Father right now and not as Dad. And again, you understand how I'm using these words tonight, I hope. So I don't know where you're at right now and your level of warmth in your relationship with the Lord, but I would just, again, remind all of us, if you're at a spot right now where you're saying, man, I don't feel the warmth. I don't feel the closeness. I don't feel like He's Dad right now. That's not His fault. It's not. If that warmth and that closeness is not there, that's on us. And if we want to get back to Him being Dad instead of Father, we just need to be reconciled. We just need to be made right. And He wants to do that even tonight. Whatever's wrong, whatever is out of place, whatever sin might be present, just address it tonight. And it is amazing how that relationship will be restored, how that warmth will be restored, and it'll just feel right once more. But God wants the closeness more than we know. Just a matter of whether or not we'll recognize it and draw from it. He is Ishai, not just Baalai. Let's all stand tonight and bow our heads for prayer. Fathers, I come to you this evening. Lord, I don't know how this message would speak to the hearts of different people. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as a church family to be careful to not so focus on the Lord and Master part of the relationship that we fail to recognize and we fail to convey to others just who you really want to be in our lives. So Lord, if there's someone here tonight who's struggling with this, if there's someone right now who's just never really felt the warmth that you provide, I pray that tonight would be the night that they would realize who you want to be in their life. And God, if someone has known it in the past, but maybe they're not where they're supposed to be right now, and so they're not really feeling it, I pray that reconciliation would take place tonight, that relationship would be restored, and that warmth would be put back in place. I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.